Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 37. Your neck is the place for three desires, and your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. Your head is the fire without sacrifice, as well as the fire of worship, and your living forces are the aggregate of all desires. No purport, unfortunately. Well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, should I? As it is. So mastureta savananya vastiti samsta vibhedastava deva dhatava shatrani sarvani sharira sandhis tvam sarva yagya kraturishti bandhanaha. O Lord, your semen is the sacrifice called soma yagya. Your growth is the ritualistic performances of the morning. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of the Agnishtoma sacrifice. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed in 12 days. Therefore, you are the object of all sacrifices called Soma and Asoma, and you are bound by yajñas only. Purport. There are seven kinds of routine yajñas performed by all followers of the Vedic rituals, and they are called Agnishtoma, Atyagnishtoma, Ukta, Shodashi, Vajapaya. That was the name of one of the prime ministers of India, wasn't it? Vajpayee? Yeah. Is that the one now? Or, no, it's a different one, wasn't it? That was the fellow heading up the BJP, wasn't it? A while ago. Okay. See, Prabhupada says, you know, the remnants of Vedic culture are beneficial, right, to society. Even though Vedic culture, Prabhupada says that Vedic culture is like a dead elephant. Mm-hmm. Right? The culture itself is dead. But even a dead elephant has some good use. So at least you get a very pious name if you were born in India. Vajpaya, Atiratra, and Aptorayama. Anyone performing such yajñas regularly is supposed to be situated with the Lord. But anyone who is in contact with the Supreme Lord by discharging devotional service is understood to have performed all different varieties of yajñas. Om Gyanati Minandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tatti Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinatarinam. So we are recommended manmana to think of Krishna. And the Bhagavatam gives us opportunities for deepening that meditation on Krishna. Here we're listening to a description of Lord Varaha. And an intricate examination of all of the different aspects of his bodily form. And how each one of those features represents or is the embodiment of, here in this case, Jagya. Many things, actually. What have we got here? The repetition of your appearance is the desire for all kinds of initiation. Diksha anujanma, spiritual birth, or repeated incarnations. So whenever the Lord appears, it's for what purpose? Spiritual rejuvenation. Dharma samstapanataya, right? Paritranaya saudunam vinasaya chatushkridam dharma. To establish dharma. That's the purpose of Krishna's appearances. And the purpose of every birth that we might take, and certainly in a human form of life, is to reconnect with Krishna. This is the purpose of our birth. Anujanma. Repeated births. It's not to stay in the material world and try to eke out some meager enjoyment from the material energy, but rather the purpose of the human form of life is to reconnect with the disciplic succession, reconnect with the spiritual master, reconnect with the spiritual with the disciplic succession, and ultimately be connected to Krishna. So there's a meditation, the repetition of the Lord's incarnations and the repetition of our births and deaths. What is it all for? This is a sign of an intelligent person. They inquire, what is the purpose of existence? Got to be more to it than just birth, death, old age, and disease. And just destruction. Creation and destruction. What's the point of that? There must be some higher purpose to existence. Therefore, initiation is required. And initiation means then what? One has to have a teacher. If you want to be good in anything, then you need a coach. Right? All good sports people don't do it on their own. They have a coach. You know, in Australian rules football, especially at this time of the year, at the end of the season, the team's talk is about, you know, very much about the coach. Will we have this, you know, we just got the wooden spoon, will we stick with the same coach or shall we drop him? Right, and get a new one, a better one. Right? Coach is important. So teacher is important. Your neck is the place. And so, you know, then we have the initiate. We find the teacher who's going to teach us what is the purpose of life. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I must have been 3 or 4, not much more than that. And I remember walking to Mrs. McGuinness's house. She lived down there. We lived in a... The school that my father was teaching in was a block of land in the middle of Mr. McGuinness's paddock, actually. He had a big farm, sheep farm. And I used to like to go down there because I could watch the shearers shearing, and I could see what was going on in the farmyard. You know, they'd have a drum that they would put the honeycomb racks from the beehives in, and they'd spin it around really fast, and then the honey would come out onto the sides of the drum and then fall into the bottom, and then they'd take the honey out and, well, have honey, I suppose, make honey. So I used to like to go to the... And also Mrs. McGuinness was a good cook. And despite the fact that her name was McGuinness, she was actually German. She was German. Mr. McGuinness was Scottish, obviously, from Scottish, you know, background. And I think he was an older man, and she became his housekeeper. Right? But then, you know, lo and behold, they got married. But they didn't have any children. So she used to, it would be, and she used to feed me also. And she made fantastic Danish pastries. She was a really good pastry cook. So anyway, I was walking to Mrs. McGuinness's, and, you know, in my head, and I was thinking, what is the, you know, what am I going to do in this lifetime? I don't know if that's normal for a 4-year-old. That's what I was thinking. And I was thinking, in this lifetime, I'm going to work out exactly what's going on. I'm going to make a success of this life. This was my meditation at the time. Although it was spring, and I used to walk down with a stick and I was swinging around my head because the magpies were swooping. Right? You ever had a magpie swoop you? It's freaky, it's scary, and especially when you're only 3 years old. You can hear this, the sound of the wings of the bird, and then it'll peck you on the head, or it'll scratch you with its claws. Huh? So I'm walking down the road, swinging the stick around my head so the magpies would have swooped me, thinking about the purpose of life. So, you know, not everybody thinks like that. And it's a fortunate person who inquires about the real purpose of existence. You know, and, you know, that might have been a moment of lucidity, you know, in a total, you know, ocean of confusion. But not many people think like that and are able to or are in a position to seek out and to search for a proper understanding of existence, which is mentioned here. Diksha anujanma upasada shirodaram Right? Now, this Upashada, three kinds of desires, relationship, activities, and ultimate goal. And that's what the Vedas teach, and that's what the spiritual master will teach. Right? And that's what the initiation's for. The initiation is the formal acceptance of the guru by the disciple, and the formal acceptance of the disciple by the guru. Right? And the guru's business is then to teach this information. And it says here, Shirodharam. This is situated in the Lord's neck. What? Shirodharam, the head holder. So, if we read these descriptions of the Lord carefully, the prayers of the different demigods and so forth, then that provides us food for thought, right? So that then we can think about Krishna, manmana. And it has to be, a deep absorption, a deep meditation, not just some external, superfluous skimming over the top, but a deep diving into the relationship that one has with Krishna. This is why we hear the Bhagavatam. Why we study the Bhagavatam, why we study the Vedas, is so that we can understand what our relationship is with Krishna. And as it's mentioned in the previous verse, if you want to get to know Krishna, then you need to be engaged in jagya. Right? You need to be prepared to perform some sacrifice. I mentioned this many times. A lot of people like to think of self-realization as something that just happens to you, one day while you're walking down the street. Right? Then all of a sudden, you get self-realized, self-enlightened. And then you walk around with this glowing effulgence and a beatific smile. In fact, somebody was asking me the other day, what is self-realization? What is enlightenment? What is enlightenment? Enlightenment is a process. It's not something that just happens once and then that's it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Because it exists in the performance of jagya, and that has to be ongoing. That's something that we do all of the time. If we want to know our relationship with Krishna, if we want to know Krishna, then we have to be prepared to perform the jagya, the sacrifice. Primary sacrifice for us is the Sankirtan jagya. Chanting of Hare Krishna. If you want to make spiritual advancement, if we want to know who we are, Sambandha, Abhideya, and ultimately Prayojana, then we have to be engaged in the Sankirtan Jagya. Chanting Hare Krishna. Pretty much, if you need to perform a Jagya or sacrifice, you don't need to worry about anything else, at least in this day and age, other than chanting Hare Krishna. This is where we put our focus and attention. in the chanting. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Kiti Anyata. So there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than through the process of chanting Hare Krishna. I was reading in the Nectar of Devotion, interesting quotation, Prabhupada says, you only need to worship a picture of the Panchatattva and to chant Hare Krishna to realise God. That's pretty far out, isn't it? When you think about it. We just need to worship the Panchatattva. Of course we do more than that, mind you. And, you know, most everything that we do is worship of the Panchatattva, because the Panchatattva are the embodiment of the Sankirtan Jagya. And that means, you know, rising early in the morning, cleaning your teeth, putting on clean clothes, putting your tilak on, you know, worshipping the Guru and Krishna in the morning at Mangalartik, worshipping the deity. All of the things that we do are part of the Sankirtan Jagya. But the underpinning, you know, the foundation for us is chanting Hare Krishna, right? Pretty much. You know, if your chanting is full of offences and you're not making, you know, you're not being attentive, then what happens to your spiritual life? What happens to your, well, perhaps you don't do it.
Goes down the toilet,
yeah. Goes down the tube. A lot of what, pretty much everything that we do is dependent upon effective chanting of Hare Krishna. Now here's an interesting one. Your tusks are the result of initiation. Your tusks are the result of initiation. And the end of all desires. What does that mean? Prayaniya Udayaniya Dumstraha. What's the result of initiation? Your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. What's the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness? Don't say, raise your hands if you know. Yeah? Chaitanya Lila? And? Same thing. Next, what's the other item? No. The first one's right. Huh? Well, humility. No. Although humility is a quality thereof. What is it?
Less desires.
That's the same as what she just said. So that's also the same. Detachment from material things means knowledge. Attachment to Krishna.
Knowledge.
Yes. Knowledge automatically arises in the heart of a devotee who's following the process of devotional service under the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. Nectar devotion. Right? This is the test. The test of advancement is automatically we should be coming detached from material desires and an understanding of our relationship with Krishna, an understanding of who we are, understanding of who Krishna is will be provided for us. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam jaina mam upayanti te. Tesham evana gyampartam, what is it? Tesham evano gyampartam, aham agyana jam, dipaha, nash, I can't remember it. That's the previous verse. Nasyam yatma bhavasto jnana dipena bashvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling within their hearts, destroy the darkness of ignorance with the lamp, the light of transcendental knowledge. Right? So when we're engaged in devotional service, then we're automatically being inspired by Krishna from within. You know, darkness is ignorance, and light, illumination, is knowledge. And especially when we're engaged in the process of devotional service, we've taken initiation. Right? The result of initiation and the end of all desires. Not spiritual desires, right? Because you can't get rid of desire. Not possible. If you got rid of desire, what would happen? Huh? You're dead. That's right. So we're not here to get rid of desire. Impossible. Right? But we want to change our desire. Like Prabhupada says, nice quotation, the yoga process is for controlling the senses. Bhakti yoga is for purifying the senses. Right? So we don't negate the senses, and neither do we negate desire, because you can't. You can't get rid of your senses, right? And their pullings. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udra pasta vegam. We're always going to be pushed, right? Who's feeling the pushings? Huh? Anybody feeling the pushings? Wake up if you're not. Or you wake up and it's too late. So what did I do that for? So we're being pushed. Right? Pushed by this, or pulled by the senses. Right? And pushed by desire. So we control the senses by purifying them in the engagements of devotional service. This is an amazing, you know, this is a wonderful experience and an important realization and an important understanding that we must have to appreciate what we're doing. You know, one of the things that I notice about a lot of my so-called friends on Facebook is people are always whinging about, oh, you know, we're too Indian, or we're not non-violent enough. You know, we've got to be vegans, or what? You know, they're always complaining about that they're not complete or they're not happy. And I think, what's wrong with you guys? You know. Why not be happy, engaged in devotional service, instead of thinking I'm lacking something? Yeah, lacking. We're lacking because we don't understand our relationship with Krishna. We're lacking because we don't know what we're doing. And we're finding it, which we're looking for, or trying to find satisfaction in things other than those related to Krishna. It's a tragic situation. And so, and there's this doubt or this loss or lack of faith in what we're actually doing as devotees. And that's not complete enough. But we should understand that the practice, this jagya, this sacrifice, it's purnam, it's complete. And it will give, if we follow it carefully and focus on the details, especially here, we focus on the details of the characteristics of the Lord, right? Then we've got a deep meditation and we'll get a deep understanding of what our relationship is, who we are, and we'll be happy just to be engaged in devotional service. We won't be looking for something else to do, right? Of which there's millions of distractions being provided by the material energy pretty much at any moment, right? Just open up your mobile phone and have a look. It's all total distraction almost, right? Unless we use it in Krishna service. We have a way of purifying all of this stuff by using it in Krishna service. And that's the power of devotional service. It's extraordinary. Because what happens is we become a little bit too familiar with these things sometimes. And also, due to that familiarity, we sometimes lose our grip or our understanding of the importance. And the importance of paying attention. Because if we don't pay attention, then the anattas or the unwanted things will creep back up again. Right? Have you noticed that? Instead of thinking that our prime responsibility is to solve the problems of life, we start to think that the whole purpose, and how to do that, we start to think, oh, hang on, satisfy my material propensities or material proclivities is what will make me happy. Because from experience, we know that that's not the case. We know that by making Krishna happy, then we'll be happy. Because every time we chase after our material pursuits, we end up becoming miserable in reality. But we forget that. And Maya's always trying to remind, or trying to, you know, for the devotees, Maya has a special potency. It's called the pulling down potency. And that's only for devotees, right? Would you believe? We get special attention by Maya. The others are just completely in Maya anyway, so it doesn't matter. But as soon as the devotee tries to get out, then Maya tests. Right? But that's why we need to be, you know, attentive to this sambandha, abhideya, and ultimately achieving the prayojana. So remember our relationship and then what it means to act on that relationship. And how devotional service has the power, has the potency to, and this is the trick, the activities that we perform appear to be the same as anybody else. Except for the fact that we add the chanting of Hare Krishna and we add the worship of Krishna. But you know, we have our businesses, you know, we go to the bank, we go to the market, we cook, we, you know, offer. Not everybody does that. But, and then we eat, you know, we wear clothes, we cut our hair, we shave, we clean our teeth, you know, we do all the same activities, right? But, I guess, you know, the sacrifice is that all of that we do as an offering to Krishna. That's our jagya. That's our sacrifice. And we put aside that time every day to chant Hare Krishna and to build our connection with proper focus and with proper attention. The initiation is the beginning of that process. But the result is that, as it says here, end of all desires. Or isn't it interesting? In the translation here it says, Udayaniya, the last rites of desires. What does that mean? The last rites of desires. Anybody like to speculate? Mahatmaji. Huh?
Lotus feet of
Krishna. Well, that's a speculation, all right. Prabhupada says we're allowed to speculate on these things. Speculating on Krishna philosophy is okay, so long as it's based on Shastric evidence. Right? We can speculate as much as we like, so long as it has some basis in fact. Right? So no speculation. But speculation in that sense means we can think about it. What does it mean? We should be thinking about these things. What does it mean? The last rites of desires. Something to meditate on today. But it's in the translation, it's interesting. Your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. So that's, you know, that's indicative of the fact that we take initiation and we follow the process of devotional service, we should be coming purified. Not that we won't have desires. Right? The last rites. What are the last rites of desire? Idam Krishnaya Idam Na Mama. That's what they say. You know, this is what they do in Mayapur, right? I mentioned this many times. At the end of each swaha, right? That's what they do. Idam Krishnaya Idam Na Mama. This is for Krishna, it is not for me. Right? That should be our meditation. Okay. Now, this is an interesting one. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. What are the prior activities of initiation? What are the prior activities of initiation? Yes. What else? Chanting 16 rounds. What else? Yeah, or everything. Actually, the prior activities of initiation are the same as the activities after initiation. Right. And this can be a bit tricky because, you know, sometimes, although there are yajñas that are recommended to be performed before initiation. But Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that basically a devotee is tested chanting 16 rounds following the principles and rendering service, performing sankirtan, basically. But what can happen is, you know, then a lot of anticipation and apprehension and excitement is generated before we take initiation. Right? And then we take initiation and we get a name and we get beads and then it can be a bit of a letdown because we're still doing the same things. Right? And sometimes devotees get bewildered by that because they think, ooh, what happened? That's all right. This is why I told you, get a new stand. These stands are no good. Right? Because when they're old, then the power of gravity is stronger. Right? So when you're giving a class or leading a kirtan, then gradually the microphone wanders south. Then you can't, you know, next thing you know, you haven't got a microphone anymore. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. Your tongue. The tusks are the end result. The tongue is the beginning. Your head is the fire without sacrifice. As well as the fire of worship. And your living forces are the aggregate of all desires. Your semen is the sacrifice called Soma Jagya. Your growth is the ritualistic performances of the morning. What are the ritualistic performances of the morning? Yeah, but for us. But what would ordinarily a householder would be performing different yajñas? That's why it's mentioned here. Seven kinds of yajñas: Agnishtoma, Atyagnishtoma, Ukta, Shodashi, Vajapaya, Atiratra, and Aptoriyama. What? And Prabhupada mentions, you know, it's the duty of the householder to perform yajñas. Huh? And that's what we do. When we get up early in the morning, what do? We sacrifice sleeping. Right? We sacrifice sleep. Of course, we don't actually sacrifice sleep. We go to bed early and make sure we get enough sleep so that when we do wake up, we're actually awake, not still asleep. Huh? I think I spent a good part of my life in a morning program asleep. Mind you, eyes were open. I was walking. When I first joined the temple and I was a new devotee, there was another devotee who joined before me. His name is Ayojadev Ram, he lives in Canberra now, and a good friend of mine and Bhaktas. Bhakta and Ayojadev were the culprits behind all of the plays that they put on. We used to walk around, you know, you'd be half asleep, you'd walk around, and then you'd stop somewhere in the middle of the temple room, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, fall asleep, but still be standing up. Then the other one would come along and bump into you. Wake up. So we used to take it in turns, falling asleep and bumping into each other to wake each other up. I don't know if you can relate to that or not. So, sacrifice is to go to bed early and then get up early. And then perform these sacrifices, ritualistic performances of the morning. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the austerities of the body, right? And the austerities that it mentions: rising early in the morning, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipping the spiritual master, worshipping your parents, or honouring your parents, right? These are the ritualistic performances of the morning. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of the Agnishtoma sacrifice. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed in 12 days. Therefore, you are the object of all sacrifices called Soma and Asoma, and you are bound by yajñas only. Right? This is why Sankirtan Yajna, chanting Hare Krishna, is so important. If we want to attract Krishna, then we need to be expert in the performance of this yajna. The Sankirtan Yajna, which means, you know, the many aspects of devotional service, we need to understand them. We need to understand sambandha, we need to understand who we are, what our relationship is with everything. Right? We need to know what our relationship is with everything. And we understand that first and foremost by understanding our relationship with Krishna. We approach Krishna through the agency, or through the parampara, through the disciplic succession. And we're connected to the disciplic succession by initiation from the spiritual master. That's formal. Actually, that's formal. The formal initiation is preceded by the actual initiation, which is the hearing the instructions and following them. Right? That's the Prabhupada says that's the actual initiation. The formal initiation we do is important, and we have to do it because Krishna makes it a prerequisite. But prior to the formal initiation is the hearing of the instructions and then following them, agreeing to abide by those instructions and following them. That's a real initiation. Because, you know, I've mentioned this before, there are people who have taken initiation, but they don't follow the order of the gurus. So what's the point? Huh? What's the point? They took initiation, but they don't follow. So what? The real point is to accept the instructions and then follow them. That's the real initiation. And then from that following comes the connection. Sevaya, the rendering of service, precedes the gift of self-realization. And that's the sacrifice. Right? You are bound by jagyas only. So if we want to secure our relationship with Krishna, then we need to become expert in performing the Sankirtan Jagya in all of its varieties. And it's varied. It's variegated. You know, I used to think as a young devotee, what's the trick? There's got to be one, you know, there's one thing I've got to get right. Once I connect to that, then I'll be a pure devotee. Right? But then after a while, I realised there's not one thing, it's hundreds of things. Got to learn how to do and do well. Right? It's a consummate, all-consuming activity, practice, devotional service. You can't do it if we're initiated. We can't do it half-heartedly. We have to do it wholly. That's how we make progress. If we only do it half-hearted, you know, you can only, as I said before, you can't expect to just be walking down the street and then all of a sudden, you know, plow, you'll be struck by you know, self-realization or enlightenment. In this day and age, it's sacrifice. And it's sacrifice performed, what is it? Just like it's a yoga practice, Shanai Shanai Uparamed, mentioned in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's done gradually and consistently and continually. Huh? Does anybody have any comments or questions? Mahatma.
Mrs. McGinnis.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah.
Well, not through Mrs. McGinnis. First, chanting of Hare Krishna.
But how did you come to know Hare Krishna mantra?
That's what my I met a devotee when I was about 15 or 16, and he gave me a card, an invitation to the Sunday feast, and on that card it had the Maha Mantra. So I took that home and I stuck it on my pin-up board. And I learned to chant Hare Krishna from reading that card. One of the things. That was one of the first contacts that I had with the devotees. Otherwise, and you know, in Adelaide, they had, outside the Adelaide railway station, they had a big billboard, and on it was an invitation to the Sunday feast, and it had the Maha Mantra on it. which is quite revolutionary, actually. And I used to see that. And I said, what's that? Hare Krishna. That's the Hare Krishnas inviting us to the Sunday. Maybe we should think about having a billboard somewhere, invite people to the Sunday feast. Huh? And I used to hear the Harinam party. When I'd go into the city, I'd hear this chanting. And I'd think, ooh, what's that? The question is, how do we know whether we're taking shelter of the spiritual master's instructions or our mind? I haven't worked it out yet. When I work it out, I'll let you know. We know. Especially when we're chanting well, then... See, this is why we need to hear our philosophy and why we need to develop our discrimination, read Prabhupada's books, so that we can differentiate between the mind's demands and the pushings of anger and... what is it? What are the six enemies of the mind? Kaam, lobe, krodh, lobe, what is it? Kaam, krodh, lobe, madan, madness, yeah, mohan, illusion, six enemies of the mind. So we need to be able to clearly identify what is a spiritual instruction from the Bhagavad Gita, from our spiritual master, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the teachings of the Goswamis, Prabhupada's instructions, and what is just a demand of the mind. So we need to have to we need discrimination to do that. And so that requires intelligence. Otherwise, mind will overcome the intelligence. So we need to strengthen our intelligence. Intelligence means the capacity or the ability to discriminate. Right? So we need to be able to discriminate what is a spiritual instruction and what is a material demand coming from the mind. So how do you do that? How do you strengthen your intelligence? Good association, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita. So that, you know, when the mind's demands, the urges and the pushings of the senses arise, which they will do, then we're able to sublimate those material pushings with spiritual pushing, spiritual desires, spiritual activity, basically. So the ability to discriminate between one and the other depends on strong intelligence. And the intelligence is strengthened by good association, by regularly reciting the Vedic literatures, the austerities of the mind. What are the austerities of the mind? Regularly reciting Vedic literature, simplicity, satisfaction, we were reading it the other day. Being satisfied with what you've got. In the Bhagavad Gita you'll find it. So making sure that the mind is in the mode of goodness and is meditating on and is contemplating spiritual topics and spiritual subject matter, then, you know, the mind is absorbed in positive engagement. And so, you know, in one sense, when our desires are spiritual and the mind is demanding spiritual perfection or spiritual performance or spiritual activities, and that's okay, isn't it? We don't want to. We want to listen to the mind that's telling us to do that, right? When the mind, when you wake up in the morning and you think, "Oh, time to go to Bangalore," and the mind say, "Come on, get going," that's not bad, is it? So the mind, you know, it's not that we don't want to listen to the mind. We just have to have the mind engaged in positive things. That's why Krishna says it's either your best friend or your worst enemy, and why it needs purification. And so, in one sense, we're not averse to listening to the mind. Right? It's just we're averse to the mind being absorbed in the wrong things. So that's why we get up early, chant Hare Krishna, all the things we do. So that, you know, the ritualistic ceremonies in the morning mean that by the time we get to prasadam, or after prasadam, you know, we're just already thinking only about Krishna. The mind's already just thinking about Krishna, nothing else. Isn't it? And so, you know, there may be a bit of a hiccup or a whatever, but we can easily ignore it. Right? Prabhupada gives the example of how a pool of water, a pond, can be very clear and settled. But every now and again, you know, a bubble will arise from the bottom of the pond. You seen that? Bloop, and then there's a bubble that goes up the top, bloop, on the top. But you know, something like that is just, rah, you just ignore it. Because the mind is clear and peaceful, like the pond. Get a stick, you know, stick it in the water and shake it all around and stir up the bottom, make it all dirty. Then you can't, you know, what's going on here? But the whole, and the mind can be like that, you know, if we don't rise early in the morning, and sometimes it is, you know, you wake up in the morning and the mind's just, you know, right? Everything's just disturbed and upset and impossible to work out what's going on. So the means to keeping the mind peaceful, clear and still is the morning program and, you know, our service, our regulation, but especially our chanting. Right? Otherwise it's normal for the mind to be disturbed. That's quite normal. So don't be surprised if you've got a disturbed mind. That's okay. Upadrutaha. In a Kali Yuga, that's normal. What's not, what is unique is that we can rise early and chant Hare Krishna and then make it very peaceful. So Prabhupada, and that's the advice Prabhupada gave for one devotee who's, you know, mentioned, oh, my mind's agitated. Prabhupada says, just, you know, we're enthusiastic, we get engaged in devotional service, sometimes we experience setbacks that may be bewildering, disappointing, right? And so we become discouraged, we lose our enthusiasm, and Prabhupada says, all right, no worries, sit down, chant Hare Krishna, right? And then in just a matter of time, your enthusiasm will come back, right? Get to 8 rounds, 10 rounds, and all of a sudden you think, yeah, great, let's go. Why was I feeling so discouraged before? Then by the time you've got the 16 rounds, you think, yay, let's go. Is that right? That's how I feel usually. Wake up in the morning, I'm feeling depressed. Oh, life is tough, I'm going to die. Yuck. What a horrible existence. Then you just keep chanting, and then, you know, after four rounds, you go, oh, I feel pretty good now. Eight rounds, whoa, Superman, nothing's going to stop me. By the time I get to 16 rounds, I'm usually pretty exhausted. Because, you know, the initial enthusiasm of chanting has subsided, and the humdrum, mundane mind has made a fight back. Right? And he doesn't like it. He says, what are you doing? You've been chanting. He says, well, you've been chanting all this time. And I've had to concentrate. Now I'm tired and exhausted. Let's go and have a sleep. Right? See, mind's very tricky and lazy. It just wants to do its own thing. So, you know, we just got to keep at it. Then, easy to work out what the mind is doing, especially if we can become peaceful through chanting and enthusiastic. That's where it comes from. It comes from Krishna. Associating with Krishna, that's where our enthusiasm comes from. All right, I think we should finish. Oh, excuse me. Kvantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Sri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offering written by Friday ki jai. There's something to get depressed about. Oh, what am I going to write?